knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. The writer is David. He's writing a psalm here. David is an amazing man. What a well-rounded man he was. He was a warrior. He literally took his hands one day and killed a lion with him. And then he took his hands one day and he killed a bear. In hand-to-hand combat, he killed a bear. And then he took a sling stone one time and a stone and killed a giant named Goliath, a Gittite, one of the Philistines. And he became the second king of Israel, and he just led many, many wars and conquests, almost all victorious. Not only was he a man of war, but he would take the same hands and he would play a harp so skillfully as a man of music that when the king before him, Saul, was troubled by an evil spirit and they said, find him somebody that can play an instrument skillfully, maybe the music would soothe this tormented man, Saul, they chose David. And David came and played with his harp so skillfully that as he played, the music was so powerful that the evil spirit lifted from Saul and gave him some liberty from that oppression. He was a man of music. But David was also a man of nature. He loved nature. He was an outdoorsman. And he would just marvel at the creation of God. He didn't miss it. It's a sermon. Dr. Jack Hiles once preached a sermon entitled The Sermon No One Hears. And he based it on Psalm 19 and verses 1 through 3, again a psalm of David, where David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And so God uses nature as a sermon to mankind. That man is supposed to look into the heavens and into the galaxies and the planets and the stars and the black holes and everything. And he is supposed to marvel at the power of God. And it says there's no speech where that sermon is not given. Every language in the world can look up to the heavens and see the handiwork of God and see what the Lord has done and give him praise and thanks to the Lord for. David was a man who enjoyed nature. They used to say in the old days, you need to stop and smell the roses. And what they meant by that is that there's too many people who are too busy and too distracted by everything that's commercial or man-made or their problems. And sometimes we can get so focused on our problems we can't even see beyond our hand of the wonderful things God has done and is doing around us. We ought to see the handiwork of God, and we ought to thank him for it. I was listening recently. I was at a meeting where a physicist or something was speaking about the earth and the marvel of creation. And he said that he used to teach high school science, and then he became a principal of a school. And he used to try to find a way that he could get his students to comprehend what an amazing universe we live in. And so he took the size of the sun and the size of the earth, and he did all kinds of math, and he tried to reduce it to terms that the young people would understand. And he took, now this is a ball here. It's about the size of a volleyball. He used a volleyball. It's about the size of a volleyball to represent the sun. That's all we could find this morning. My friend who was going to bring a volleyball in didn't, but I'm not going to hold that against her. So we're rushing around downstairs looking for something. And he would say to his students that if you could imagine that this is the sun, I want to show you how big the earth is compared to the sun. And he would get one of these. You know what these are? This is a BB. And one BB, I don't know if you can see this or not, probably not. He says, that's how big the earth is compared to the sun. Right there. I don't know how accurate he is, but he says he would do this to try to get his students to understand the marvel of this tiny little speck we call Earth. It's the only planet known to be able to have life, and how this little speck is actually 93 million miles away from this. And I gathered a little information, and I put it on the back of your bulletin there. It says this. It says, how many miles does the Earth travel in space each day? Now, I know we all think we're standing still right now. We all think that. But we're not. We are moving at a rate of 18.5 miles per second. It says on the back of your bulletin there, it says the first and simple answer to this question of how many miles does the Earth travel in space each day is found by calculating the circumference of the Earth's orbit around the sun and dividing it by the number of days in a year. The average distance from the sun to the Earth is 150 million kilometers, or 93.2 million miles. So my span, if you can imagine that, 93.2 million miles. And it goes once around a year, in a year's time. Multiplying by 2 pi gives 585.6 miles for the circumference. That's not right. Dividing this by, it should be, I think, million. Dividing this by, 585.6 million miles for the circumference. There's a word missing there. Dividing this by 365.25 days per year gives 1.0603 million miles per day. This actual average orbital velocity, is closer to 18.5 million miles per second, accounting for the fact that the orbit is slightly elliptical. Using this value gives a more accurate 1.598 million miles per day. How many of you knew you traveled that much in the last day? No wonder we're tired. Now, I don't know all this stuff. I was just copying it from some website on physics or science. I don't know what it was called, or somebody gave me the article. But just think of that. In the last day, you and I have traveled 1.598 million miles per day. The article goes on. I didn't put it in there. But that's our traveling around the sun per year. That's 1.598 million miles a day. That doesn't count the miles we're traveling while the Earth spins on its axis at about a 22-degree angle once a day. You've got to add that to this number. Plus, the galaxy we live in, the Milky Way, is swishing northward at an unbelievable rate. You've got to add that to those other two figures. That's how much you travel every day. And I don't know about you, but I have to agree with David in verse 6 when he says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. I thought I was standing still. We can't attain on them. David, in other words, David says, as I thought about this, it's too much for my mind to think about. And then he got down to the human body, which I want to talk about for a little while, and he starts talking about the human body in verse 13 down through verse 16. And he says in verse 14, I will praise thee, and then he gives a reason. He says, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. He says, I will praise thee. Now, praise is the basis of thanksgiving. In Hebrews 13 and verse 15, it says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. So if you wonder what praise is, it's the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Just continually thanking the Lord. Now, that's what praise is. And going back to our text verse, Psalm 139, verse 14, a psalm of praise, David is marveling at creation, the galaxies and everything, but he also noticed some things about the physical body. He said, I will praise thee. Why? For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I have a little formula that I use in my life. It works for me. Maybe it's not good enough for you, but it's a formula for thanksgiving. And that's, I like to put everything in my life into three categories and thank the Lord for it. The first category is the spiritual, which I'm not going to talk about today. But that, of course, is being able to know God through his Son, Jesus Christ, and be saved, and for the blood of Christ, and for salvation, and the Bible, and prayer, and peace, and joy, and all these things that come from these spiritual benefits that the unsaved do not have, that come from being related to the Lord, and the forgiveness of sins, and so on, the spiritual. Thank God for those things he gives us in the spiritual realm. And then there's the material realm. The material realm, especially where we as Americans live like kings and queens. Never has there been a country as prosperous and as blessed as America. And we have so much in the material realm that we could give thanks for. Our Lord said we ought to be content. If all we have is food and clothes, we ought to be content. But you probably wouldn't find a lot of Americans who would be content with that because we've had so much. We ought to just inventory these things and from time to time just say, thank you, Lord, for my house and my car and my clothes and my food and my whatever else God has given you to enjoy. Your Bible. We talk about the material realm. I mean, there's many countries that have not yet had scriptures translated into the language. And we ought to thank the Lord that we can hold a Bible. I got so many Bibles, it's not funny. Down in my office. What would you give up your Bible for if you knew you could never have another one? I hope you'd say nothing. That's how dear this treasure is to me. Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, thou art. I thank God I can hold one. A material blessing of the Bible and read the very words of God. But then there's the physical realm, third of all. We ought to thank the Lord for the physical realm. And this is where we ought to thank the Lord today for our eyesight, our hearing, our taste, our smelling, our touch, our sound minds. If we have a sound mind, you don't have to look very far in this whole world to see someone who's far worse off than you are. And we ought to be able just to thank the Lord for the physical realm. So thanksgiving is not a hard thing. Just kind of put everything in the spiritual, the material, or the physical realm. And I want to just focus a little bit on the physical realm. The psalmist David praised God. That's thanksgiving. He praised God for what? For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God has made us wonderfully. God has made us wonderfully. God started with framework. In our Bibles, we call in our bodies, rather, we call it the bones. There are 206 bones in your body. 8 of those bones form the cranium, a hollow ball. We can call it the skull. Inside, of course, of those 8 bones that we call the skull or the cranium, it protects the brain. little 4 or 5 pound muscle that is the most amazing computer ever created, and of course by God. Besides those 8 bones in the cranium, we have 14 bones in our face. Only one of them can move, and that's the lowest bone, the jawbone. None of the other ones can move. 22 bones in the head. These are attached to 24 bones that go down the back of us called the backbone. The top 7 of those bones that we call vertebrae, and a vertebrae is like a, if you can remember the old-fashioned spools, the wooden spools that they put thread on, take the thread off. You got that old-fashioned spool with a hole in the middle of it. There's 24 of those lined up on your back, and inside of that hole goes the spinal column, and from that go out nerve endings to all the different organs of your body and the muscles of your body, and so on. The top 7 of these bones enable the head to turn in all directions. That's what the top 7 vertebrae are for, so we can turn the head in all directions. The middle 12 bones of the vertebrae are attached to the ribs. These form what's called a rib cage that, unlike the cranium, can expand and retract because inside it protects other vital organs, whereas the cranium protects the head, or the brain, the rib cage protects the lungs. But they need room to expand and contract. And so these control or are attached to those 12 of the rib cage, these 12 attached to the rib cage, the 12 middle vertebrae of the backbone. The lower 5 vertebrae of the backbone enable us to bend forward and to bend backwards and sideways and give us flexibility. And then, of course, there's the tailbone on the bottom. Now, between these vertebrae that look like spools that thread come on, there's a cushion or a disc between each of them that works as a shock absorber. Amazing. So that if you, for instance, were to fall down on your rear end, the shock absorber going up the vertebrae would absorb the shock so as not to hurt the brain. It's pretty amazing. Now, the rib cage houses the lungs. There are 12 on each side. 10 of them attach in the front to the sternum or the breastbone. And there's only 2 on each side that do not attach. Flexible cartilage is in between these bones of the rib cage that allow it to expand and to contract. Then these bones, that is the backbone, go down and are connected to the hip bones. There are 2 of them called the pelvis, which attach to the hollow of the backbone. The thigh bone attaches to the pelvis, and this is the strongest and heaviest bone of the human body. It is attached by a ball and socket into the hip. The kneecap is a bone the size of a chestnut. And yet this bone keeps your leg straight. It keeps it from flopping forward. It can only bend backwards, the kneecap. Thank the Lord for that little thing. It'd be quite a sight watching us walk around without that. Ligaments hold the thigh bone and the shin bone and the calf bone together. Ligaments cannot stretch. Therefore, they keep the bones from dislocation. The thigh bone is connected to a calf bone and a shin bone, 2 bones that go down the calf. Now, of course, these bones attach to the ankle and the foot bones, 26 in all in 1 foot. These are set in a semicircle, forming an arch. The principle of this arch was used in the building of bridges. And it was copied by engineers When they wanted to know what they could do to keep a bridge up rather than building it flat, they studied the human foot, and that gave them the answer. The toes support the weight of your body. Without your big toes, you could not stand up. They're pretty important. As we come back up, let's not forget the bones of the arm. The bones of the arm are connected to the body by the clavicle and the shoulder blade. The upper arm has one bone, the lower arm has two bones, enabling it to twist. Like the kneecap, the elbow keeps it from only going in one direction. The two bones of your lower arm are connected to the wrist, which contains 8 bones, which is connected to the hand, which has 19 bones. You add these up, and most of your bones are in your hands and in your foot. These 19 bones of the hand can perform hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of functions. It is amazing what God has enabled people to do with the human hands. Some people can train them to play a piano or some other musical instrument. Some can build a house. Some can sew clothes and quilts, and others can do paintings and just the manual tasks that can be done by the hands, and that they last so long amazes us. No animal has as complex of a bone structure as the human being. And yet all of this is worthless unless there's muscles attached to it. We can hang a skeleton up here, it would never do anything in its life if it didn't have some muscles attached to it. And so God attached muscles to the framework in a wonderful way that they could move about the bones. God created these muscles, more than 500 of them. Each one of them has a different job. Muscles are made up of a flesh part that expands and contracts like a rubber band. Its ends are a very tough, stubborn issue. A tissue, rather, called tendons, which connect the muscles to the bones. There are two types of muscles, one which makes a joint bend and the other one which straightens it out. For example, in the arm, the bicep and the tricep are the two major upper arm muscles that allow us to go back and forth with our arms. The muscles of the face enable us to express different feelings. Raise your eyes, pride. Remember the deer in the headlights, you know? Contemplation. Anger. All that because of the muscles that God has made in the face. 500 muscles. 300 of them are exercised just by brisk walking. We need to do more than walking, but 300 of those muscles are used out of the 500 by brisk walking. Now, you could take our skeleton and attach muscles to it, and it's still worthless. Unless there is something that sends messages to them on what to do. And so God created a nervous system which has a central switchboard in us called the brain, which is constantly receiving and sending signals. And it is amazing. This nervous system, the brain, and then the spinal cord, and then the nerve endings that go all the way down to your feet and to your toes and to every single organ and to every single muscle of your body, constantly sending and receiving messages. If you or I were to take a finger and by accident stick it in a fire, a message would be sent to the brain by cells, which I'll get to in a moment, that will tell it hot, and then a message will be sent back to the end of the fingertip saying, pull your finger away. And this will be done in such an amazingly fast way that it saves us from many, many harms. All of this living tissue is composed of microscopic bits of matter that we call cells. These cells are so small they cannot be seen by the naked eye, and yet they are so complex that they still confound us as we study them. The whole body that you live in today was started by one cell at reproduction. And that one little cell, that sperm cell, met with an egg, and it contained all the DNA, that one cell had all of the information in it that would tell how dark your eyebrows will be, how long your eyelashes will be, how straight your teeth will be, how tall you'll be, how big your bones will be, and what your face will look like, the color of your hair, and so on and so forth, all from one cell. One cell, it's pretty amazing, isn't it? And they carried all that information. David said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Today, as a grown-up, your body consists of over 100 trillion cells. That's a number far too conceivable for us. Your eyes, your skin, your blood, everything, bones made of cells. Inconceivable number. They die and replace each other at a rate of 300 million per minute. In the next minute, 300 million cells in your body will die and replace themselves. Better thank the Lord for that. Keeps us going. Your taste buds will replace themselves every 2 weeks. The surface of your skin will replace itself every 4 weeks. Your liver will replace itself every 6 weeks. Your bones will replace themselves every year. 98% of the cells of your body that comprise your body will be replaced in the next year. About the only part of your body that does not replace itself are your teeth. That's kind of an amazing thing, isn't it? Cells. On the back of your bulletin, it tells us, well, we'll get to this. The cells of the nervous system, let me just talk about this for a moment. The whole body was started by one cell at reproduction to where it is now. As we said, over 100 trillion cells. The cells of the nervous system are different. Some of them are called neurons. All cells react to stimulation, but none like the neurons, which transmit an impulse to the next neuron next to it and up, so that like dominoes, they send signals to and from the motor nerve that controls the muscle. I mean, if you put your finger in fire and pulled it back, that happens so fast that every nerve-ending cell that's called a neuron, like dominoes, would pass that message on to the next one, 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 all the way up to your brain, and then all the way back again and say, pull your finger away. Just like that. That's a pretty amazing design, I think. I think we ought to praise the Lord for that. See, I don't think David knew these things. But we have such advanced science and knowledge today that I think, ought to be maybe even more thankful. And we ought to say constantly, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The central station of all this is the brain. It has two functions. It supplies the body with messages to and from, messages to the voluntary muscles, snapping your fingers, throwing a baseball, voluntary muscles, and then the involuntary muscles such as the heart, the lungs, eyelids, internal organs that just keep going by themselves. They say that you could take the heart out of a person and cut off all of the nerve endings and put it on a table, and for a while it'll just beat on its own. Think of the heart. Since last Thanksgiving, on the back of your bulletin, it says your heart has beat 40 million times. Good thing it didn't miss a couple. It's called an involuntary muscle. You don't have to think about it. It just does its job. 40 million times since last Thanksgiving. The heart pumps blood through thousands of miles of arteries every minute. The blood makes the trip throughout your body and back to your heart every 23 seconds. The blood circulates through your body 3,756 trips per day. It's a good thing because the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. Every 23 seconds. Blood goes out, comes back through thousands of miles of arteries, capillaries, and all those other things. Some of you know a lot more than I do. I'm a novice at this stuff. Your lungs took between 6 million and 10 million breaths this year. We ought to be thankful for that. 6 million. Just stop breathing for a minute. Just take a minute off. Let's say God decided to take a minute off and say, oh, I forgot about you. Because look at the verses on the back of your bulletin. Believe it or not, the Bible says this in Daniel 5:23, the God in whose hand thy breath is. Imagine if you took a minute off. Oh, sorry about that, pal. Forgot all about you. For a minute. Involuntary muscles. How about the eyelids? You ever thank the Lord for your eyelids? Let's do an experiment. The eyelids are an involuntary muscle. Thank God for them. The back of your bulletin, it says your eyelids have blinked 4.2 million times this year. 4.2 million times this year. Now here's what I want you to do. Take your glasses off and hold your eyelids open. And try not to blink and see how long you last. I got to keep preaching, but you just see how long you last. Look, listen, in about 10 seconds, you're going to get very uncomfortable. Would you agree with that? In about 20 seconds, 30 seconds, you're going to be dying. Doesn't that hurt? Just keep your eyelids open. Just try it sometime for just 10 seconds. 20 seconds. 30 seconds, see how you do. What would happen to your eye? You wouldn't have any eyesight. One for these little things right here, eyelids. Your eyelids have blinked about 4.2 million times since last Thanksgiving. You know, I think we ought to thank the Lord for that. Sure makes life more comfortable. This is amazing stuff here, isn't it? Amazing stuff. Well, we got to hasten on here and finish. Besides supplying the body with messages, it lodges information in the brain that is put into it through the senses, touch, sight, smell, sound, and taste, into a great computer where there's things we can remember at my age from 40, 45 years ago and pull out whenever we need them through the five senses. Now again, the bones, the muscles, the nervous system, again, they're worthless unless they receive energy or fuel. And so God supplies the body with fuel through the digestive system, the heart and the blood system, and the lungs that we talked about. And all of that has to be wrapped up with skin. I don't have time to talk about the skin, but did you ever just maybe get a paper cut, pour some lemon juice in it? That one little top layer of skin. Did you ever just have a little bit of that come off maybe when you had an accident or hit your hand pounding a nail or something? Boy, it's nice when that grows back on there. Pain stops. We ought to thank the Lord for that. And yet if you have the framework and the muscles and the nervous system and the fuel supply system and the skin wrapped up, it's still worthless. Because the Bible says, the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. And here's where scientists have no answer. But in Genesis 2 and verse 7, we have an answer. It says, and God created man and breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And there is a spirit in man that is the seat of emotions that enables us to have love and joy and peace and happiness or anger and hatred and pride and all these things that have contaminated the human spirit. And the spirit leaves the body at death, and the Bible says there's no one that can retain the spirit in the day of death. I don't care if you're the richest person on earth and you could put all the money to all the doctors and said, please keep my spirit inside of my body. I can't help you when God calls for the spirit. Man is a living soul that is a part of man that is a spiritual. That is a part of man that has a spiritual drive. Men in all nations have prayed to some kind of a God, not dogs. You don't see birds praying. You don't see cats or cows praying or horses. But all over the world, you will see people praying to a rock, a stone, a piece of wood, a cow, or something, because there is a soul in man that brings a spiritual component to him that gets him to seek for the Lord. God said, all souls are mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, it says, he that converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. We're amazing. And frankly, I don't know what I'm talking about. All this stuff. I was just trying to accurately recite things that I had learned and copied and so on and so forth. Amazing. Amazing. The body. Here's what I want to close with. Here's how you apply it. Of course, I want you to be thankful. I want you to apply this message by being thankful. But then listen, some of you, now mostly it's young people, usually when you get over this, but some of you young people don't like the way God made you. One scientist, and if I want to quote this, I got this out of a book of anatomy, I'm preparing for this, if I can find it. He said it, I think, better than I can. The scientist said this, he said, when you read about the wonders of the human body, you will know why you are a walking miracle, end quote. I don't know if this man was saved or not. Einstein, towards the end of his life, he existed as either an atheist or agnostic, not making no acknowledgement of a God or a supreme being. But at the end of his life, he admitted there has to be some kind of a mind of superior intelligence that made all this and set it in motion. And he said this, and he left it up to us to try to interpret what he meant. He said this, he said, either everything's a miracle or nothing's a miracle. Einstein. Now, I don't need Einstein. I got a book, and the first four words says, in the beginning, God. Beginning, God. And I want to say this to you that are disappointed with the way you look. My ears are too big. My nose is too big. I'm too tall. I'm too short. I'm too skinny. I'm too fat. I don't like my hair. I think you're offending a God who made you a miracle. And the fact that I have breathed between 6 and 10 million times this year ought to leave me with no issues with God. My heart's beat 40 million times this year. I'd have no issues with God. My eyes have blinked over 4 million times this year. I ought to know. He's been too good to me. Been too good to me. It's time we start thanking the Lord for the way he made us and being content with the way he made us. I mean, we can change some things through diet and exercise. I understand that. But God's been good to us the last year. I know it's Thanksgiving Sunday. It's a little bit different than most Thanksgiving messages, but David said, I'll praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I didn't get to the fearful part. The whole thing can break down in a hurry. And we need to prepare to meet our God. I talked to a lady in the medical field last Saturday. I was at her kitchen table with some people. And she is works in a hospital in a different state. And she told me about a little boy that was brought in with a little rash or something on his hand, 9 years of age. And there was a misdiagnosis. They thought it was something else than what it was. And by the time they diagnosed it correctly, it was the MRSA virus. And 3 days later, he was dead. That thing's coming around. I don't know how big it's going to get. I hope they can get that thing under control. But you're starting to hear that. You're going to hear that more and more, the MRSA virus. MRSA virus, just like when we never heard of AIDS back in the 80s, now it's all you hear about. See, we're not only wonderfully made, we're fearfully made. We're fearfully made. And we ought not to take these things for granted. We ought to be thankful, first of all. And then second, if you're not saved, if your soul's never been saved from sin, you ought to get saved. Because things can happen. I remember my dear neighbor. The man was suffering from emphysema and his wife was healthy, taking care of him. And then one night, he said he was laying there and he just felt his wife just jerk a little bit. He got up in the morning, he couldn't get his wife up. She, the healthy one, died in her sleep and I did her funeral. The Bible says we ought to prepare to meet our God. And at this invitation time, I want to encourage you to be thankful for the miracle you are. We're all walking, living miracles, every one of us. We ought to have no issues with God for how good he's been to us. And then if you're not saved, if you don't care for your soul, no one's going to. Come to Jesus Christ, the Savior of all mankind, and trust him today. Be saved from your sins. Let's pray. Father, we pray now for your blessing upon this invitation time. We pray thy Holy Spirit would work and bless the baptisms. And Lord, just work now. Please, Lord, change our hearts. Help me. Start with me, Lord. Help me to be more grateful and quit complaining when my hips hurt and my knees and all this stuff. But Lord, help me to be more thankful. You've been more than good to me this year and all of us. And Lord, I plead for those that have never thought about their souls and getting saved from their sins, that they come to Christ now and be born again. Lord, help us in Jesus' name.